what we've overcome. Oh, I'm gonna wave away my flag and count all the reasons we are the champions. There ain't no turning, turning back.
Good morning, everyone. We want to say welcome to Citizen Church Online. These are unique times, but we are so excited to be in your home today, bringing church to you.
Now, we understand that the past few days has been a challenge for all of us, but we're believing that today your faith can be strengthened, your heart can be encouraged, and we're believing for just an incredible time together through live stream. So we're going to start off with a song of worship, and wherever you are in this moment, let's engage and let's worship our God and focus our hearts on how awesome our God is. Let's sing together.
Come on, church, let's worship. We sing this together.
Far I run into your love.
Father, we thank you that there's nothing that can stop us from worshiping you. No matter the time or place, whatever we're doing, whatever we're going through, we can worship you freely. And we thank you for that. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen.
Well, we take time in the middle of our services every week, and this is no different today. Wherever you're at today, we're gonna take time right now to extend our worship and give you the opportunity to give. In these kind of times that are going on, a little bit uncertainty, we wanna make sure that our church is as strong as it can possibly be, because a strong church means that we can create a strong community. Right now, we're rallying our resources. We're doing so much as a church right now, even as we speak. We have teams that are collecting goods and resources to impact our community. So we're gonna give you an opportunity to give right now, but I wanna be pretty clear about something. We do have a relief fund, but I wanna talk to you specifically right now and challenge you with the tithe. If you go to our website, citizen.church, and click on give, it is so easy and self-explanatory to walk through the prompts on our website. And what we're wanting today is for you to click on the word tithe. And what we believe about the tithe is that God tells us to bring back the 10% of our income. It's an amazing system that God has in Scripture to strengthen the church. We're a church that does ministry outside the walls every single day. And during this time of uncertainty right now, that will not change. So we're asking you today to sacrificially give wherever you are, whether you call Citizen Church your home or not. I would love for you to prayerfully consider right now going to our website, clicking on that button give, and going to following the prompts to tithe. And you can give a one-time gift today, recurring gift. But during this time, we need our church to rally, to give financially, to sacrifice, so we can be a strong church, so we can impact our community and our ministries can be strong. So why don't you pray with me right now as you're getting ready to do that? Let's pray over the offering. Father, we thank you so much. First of all, God, we thank you for even giving us the opportunity right now through technology to have church like this. People in their homes and really all over the country, even the world right now, are tuning in. And God, we pray right now, even though these times might be uncertain, you are a very certain God. You're an unchanging God. And right now, as we sacrificially give, Father, we are giving because it's a system you set up in Scripture that works. Because we believe that a strong, vibrant church creates a strong, vibrant community. And these times are no different. As we bring our tithe today, Father, bless our offering, bless our families, bless our marriages, God, bless our homes. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen, amen, amen. So today, I want to bring you a message, and I mentioned on our live video the other day that we're taking a break in our Brick by Brick sermon series. If you're new to the church, I wanna remind you, and those of you that are watching in our Maui campus right now, so our Albuquerque campus, we're meeting in homes today. Hopefully you guys are tuning in on your phones, Apple TVs, your TVs, computers, but our Maui campus today is actually meeting in church, so we wanna welcome all of you as well today, but we're taking a break in our core values series, Brick by Brick, to bring you a special message today. There's so much happening in our world. And looking back on this last week, it's been a little bit of a whirlwind, but we believe, like I just said in our prayer, that God is a certain God. He's an unchanging God, no matter how uncertain we are. I know some people, there's a spectrum right now. Some people are very anxious and fearful. Some people aren't at all. But here's what I know. God says that we do not have to have a spirit of fear. We can have a sound mind. We can have peace. So I want to bring you a special message today in regards to everything that's going on in our world. If you have your Bibles, I'll read a passage in a second. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 6 and just leave that open. And I want to set this story up and what I want to preach on today. There was a time when Moses was the leader of the Israelites that God is beginning to set the stage for what life would look like for the Israelites being the people of God. So he's starting to set rules and guidelines, and he's starting to set up how the people of God will be blessed, and so many things that God is setting up. And one of those he sets up in Numbers chapter 6. There's a blessing found in Numbers chapter 6 that many churches have recited. There is an amazing worship song even written last week about this blessing found in the 6th chapter of Numbers. But I wanna let you know a little bit about it as we get this all set up. So 3,500 years ago, this prayer, this blessing was written. It's one of the oldest prayers. It's one of the oldest blessings that we find in Scripture. And very rarely, I want you to get this, very rarely does God give us an exact formula in Scripture to receive his blessing, very rarely. But in this case, he does. And in Jewish tradition, in Jewish religion, going back 3,500 years, this blessing has been invoked because God said we can pray this blessing over us, our families, our churches, and every word of it can come to pass right now. So I want to read you this passage from Numbers chapter 6. God is telling Moses to tell Aaron, his brother. Aaron, in this story, in this time, is the high priest of Israel. So God is telling Moses, the leader of Israel, to tell the high priest, this is how you bless the people, okay? This is how you bless the people. Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 26 in the NIV. It says this, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless my people. Say to them, and here's the blessing, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The NIV says the Lord turn his face toward you. I love that. Turn his face toward you and give you peace. In this blessing, there's three separate lines of the blessing. Three separate aspects of it, and we're gonna look at those today. But I wanna make something clear. When these blessings say the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, in the original Hebrew, the Lord is replaced by the word Yahweh. If you know anything about the word Yahweh in Hebrew tradition and religion, going back all of those years, the word Yahweh was so holy and so sacred, they couldn't speak it, much less write it. So even when they were writing this blessing, they would leave the consonants out of the word Yahweh because they couldn't write the word in its entirety because it was too holy to even write. But at the same time, this is what God said to Moses to write down. So what they found was that God was so serious about this blessing. He wanted us in praying this to invoke the highest, holiest name of God, Yahweh. And God saying, you can invoke that name, that powerful of a name, to have a blessing upon us and our families. That's how powerful this blessing is. And the other reason why we use this name Yahweh is to acknowledge him. I want you to get this. Even in these times of uncertainty, the storms of life going on with this virus, God reminds us, Yahweh is above it all. He is the giver of every good thing. He is the giver of every blessing. And when we say the Lord, the Lord, the Lord in this passage, God wants us to be reminded that we're calling on the name of Yahweh, and he is the giver of all good things. So today I wanna go through these promises in this passage. There's three promises that he gives us, three things God promises to do. The first one, if you guys wanna take notes today, and these will come up on the screens that you're watching, the first promise is he will bless you and keep you. He will bless you and keep you. That's a powerful statement, a very powerful statement found in verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. What this means is that the Lord will take care of you and watch over you. The Lord will take care of you and watch over you. I want you to think right now, just as you as an individual or you as a family, what are your biggest concerns right now in regards to everything that's happening in society? Is it the virus? Is it the reactions of people from the virus? Is it the impact on the economy? Is it the impact on our country? The impact on an election coming up? Whatever your biggest stress is, whatever your biggest concern is, I love this first part because it's God's promise to us that he will take care of you. He will take care of you and he will watch over you. I want to pause just real quick and I want you to think about that. The good and loving, powerful God of the universe is watching over you. He's keeping you, he's blessing you, and he's sustaining you. I want you to think real quick in this passage, verse 23, it's not gonna come up on your screen, but in verse 23 is when God said to Moses, this is how I want you to bless my people, my people. So in this phrase, God is using third person plural to tell us, I care about the community as a whole. This is how I want you to bless my people. But the very next verse, God reduces it from third person plural all the way down to the singular you. He says, Moses, I want you to tell Aaron, this is how you bless my people. And then again in verse 24, the Lord blesses you and keeps you. Aaron was not just talking in this blessing to the Israelites as a whole, he was speaking to individuals. This is God's way of saying, yes, I care about the community of the church, I care about the world, I care about everyone, but I care about you as an individual, your family, your spouse, your marriage, your children, your finances. It's so powerful that God has his eye on you. No one is lost in the crowd when it comes to asking God for this blessing. No one is lost in the crowd. He will guard and preserve your life and give you joy. This word keep in this first line, he will bless you and keep you, is the Hebrew word shamar, which literally translates into watch or guard. He will keep you, bless you, and then he will watch over you and he will guard you. Now, this is a promise. He said, remember, we can call on the highest name of God, Yahweh. And this is Yahweh, God's promise to you that he will watch over you and he will guard you. He will give specific oversight and protection over your life. This word keep in this phrase was the same word that the Hebrews would use when shepherds would watch over their sheep. They would yell this word shamar when predators were moving in on the herd of sheep, on the flock of sheep. When a predator was coming in, the shepherds would immediately begin to yell this word shamar, this keep word, because it was a reminder that the shepherds would move to the outskirts of the flock of sheep, and they would move to the outskirts, and they would try to identify where the predators were, and they would guard. The shepherds would form a hedge of protection around the sheep so the predators stalking them in the darkness could not make it in to the flock, could not make it into the fold. And I love that picture because this is the exact word that God chooses to use today in talking about you. God is saying, I am standing in the gap, constantly watching the predators that are stalking in the darkness, and I am keeping you. I am forming a hedge of protection around you. But in this blessing, God is saying, bless your family. Say this blessing over your marriage, over your home, over your finances, because what's so powerful about this is the blessing only turned into action when the high priest Aaron invoked this blessing from God upon the people. But what I love about the New Testament is we become the high priest of our homes. We become the high priest of our lives. We have the authority now to walk into the throne room of God and invoke this blessing on our lives, on our families, on our children, on our marriages, and on our finances. This is exactly what God promises you today when he calls this blessing a blessing. It's time to invoke the blessing of God. The second promise that God gives us, number two, he makes his face shine upon you. Makes his face shine upon you. That comes from verse 25 again. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. This blessing is a blessing of acceptance and favor. This is powerful. Acceptance, remember, I am accepted by God, but also I'm favored by God. I'm favored by God. The best way I can explain this is to kind of think about the difference between a rainy day, a rainy, cloudy day with a storm, and a sunny day. A few years ago, our family went on vacation and we went to an amusement park. And one of the days we went there, and you know, when you go to amusement park, you spend a lot of money going. The kids are all hyped up. They're excited. They're bouncing off the walls in the morning. They just want to get to the amusement park. And we walked in, and just within an hour of us being there, this huge storm comes, this huge thunderstorm. And I mean, the moment the rain comes and the clouds and the wind, the entire attitude and demeanor of every person in the park changes. What was once joy and color and laughter and families skipping around and kids excited turns into kids whining and crying and asking their parents when the storm's gonna stop, like we're God or something. And they're saying, when's it gonna stop? And everybody's all of a sudden having to spend way more money on food than they ever thought they would because they can't go outside. And it's just turmoil, right? But over the course of the day when our family was there, the sun once again pierced the clouds. The sun started coming out, the clouds started dispersing, the rain dried up, and then all of the sadness, all of the whining, all of the crying, all of the lack of joy went away. The moment the sun came out, joy came back, life came back, color came back to the reality. And I say that illustration today and give you that image because that's exactly the image that God is telling us when he says, I'm gonna make my face shine on you. Because in the midst of storms in life, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of these cloudy days, because to be honest, you know, we don't know what's coming in the next 2 or 3 weeks. We don't know. But we do know God is already there. In the midst of how dark it might be, the storms of life right now, whatever might happen with finances, whatever might happen in society or in schools, whatever, God is still on the throne. And when we invoke this blessing, God is saying through the storm clouds of life, you will get to experience the light and the sun and the warmth of my face, my blessing, my favor and acceptance on your life. His face will shine upon you. This light that I'm talking about, this light that comes from his face is a light that allows us also to see things more clearly. Now, what is so important about what's happening right now in our world is we as believers, we cannot get swept up into unnecessary anxiety, into unnecessary conversations, conversations that will build on fear rather than faith. Now, I want you to get me. I am not talking about living in denial. I am not talking about being in denial of what's going on. But there is a degree of us, if we're not careful, we will allow ourselves to get swept up into social media. I mean, when you're on social media, every single person has a different opinion. Every doctor has a different opinion. People within the CDC have different opinions. Politicians have different opinions. And when we are consumed by social media and the news, anxiety begins to rise up in us. And yes, we need to be informed. Yes, we cannot bury our heads in the sand. But what God is saying is when you come to me, when you invoke a blessing like this, my face, when it shines upon you, that light will give you clarity. That light will be able, you will be able to see things as God sees them. Sees things through the lens of the word of God and not through the lens of news or biased politicians or even some biased doctors. What God is saying is, I want you to see this thing through the lens of how I see it. It's real. We need to be concerned. We need to take it seriously, but God is still on the throne. He promises that his face will shine on you. So I want to encourage you before we go to point number three, I want to encourage you that God is with you today. He's with you in your marriage and your finances. He's with you in your investments. He's with you even in regards to this specific illness and this virus. He's with you in regards to your children's education. All of these just uncertain things, just stop and think just for a moment. He's with you right now. And his face is shining on you. In the midst of this storm, in the midst of this storm, if we acknowledge God as he sits on that throne, you'll begin to feel the warmth of his presence, the warmth of his guidance, the warmth of his character. And where you were once bound by fear, now you can walk in faith and in wisdom, treating this situation exactly how God wants you to treat it. Number three, the third promise that he gives us in this blessing, he gives us a promise of giving us peace. Number three, he'll give you peace. I love this one. Verse 26, the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Now remember, this is that singular you again. So this is not God talking to the universal you. Again, I'm gonna say this a lot, but I want you to get this. He's speaking this to you. He wants to give you peace. But what does it mean? That the Lord turn his face towards you. So the previous line said his face would shine on you, but what does it mean that the Lord would turn his face towards you and give you peace? Now, when you look at this in commentaries in the original language, peace is the result of him turning his face toward us. Now, if you look at in scripture, the power of God's face, people couldn't see the face of God because the face of God was a symbol of his holiness. The face of God in the Old Testament was lethal. So when people were writing this, it was so holy. The face of God was so powerful that it was lethal, but God also chooses to use this wording toward his people. Because through all of the holiness, there is still a love that pierces through and saying, I'm gonna turn my face towards you, and it's not going to be the power that kills, it's going to be the power that sustains and the power that gives you peace wherever you're at right now. I'll give you another example of this. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, we went on a, my dad was the youth pastor at our church, and we used to do these youth trips. Every single year, we would go to California or Dallas, and we would go to Six Flags. In Dallas, we would go to California and do Disneyland, and it was just like the highlight of my year. And so I was 6 or 7 years old. We were at Disneyland that day, and we had gotten off of a ride, and I know this is so funny, but I remember this specific ride. We had just gotten off Jungle Cruise. So we got off the Jungle Cruise, and I was looking in one of those little shops, right getting off the ride, and I turn around, and my parents weren't there. I couldn't find them. I mean, it felt like just a split second, and I couldn't see my dad, I couldn't see my mom, I couldn't see the group, and I immediately started freaking out. And I'm sure my parents were freaking out on their side, but I instantly was filled with anxiety, debilitating anxiety. I remember it so clearly being 6 or 7 years old. I didn't know exactly what to do, but I remembered my parents saying, hey, find a Disneyland worker, they'll help you if you get lost, find somebody. So I'm panicking, breathing heavy, freaking out. I mean, you know, normally I don't freak out about anything, that's a lie. But I was freaking out, and I ran up to the first Disneyland worker I could possibly find, and they said, yeah, give me a second, I'll help you. And they took me to the front, and I never knew that Disneyland not only has a regular lost and found, but they also have a children's lost and found. That's kind of funny. But at least back then they did. And so they took me in there, and it was packed. I mean, kids everywhere. And it was just this big crowded room, and I kept on going in and out of the door. Everything was crowded out in front. And it was just so much anxiety. I could not find my dad. I kept on trying to look out into the crowd. Where's my dad? Where's my dad? And finally, I saw a man that might look like my dad, but his back was toward me in this giant crowd at the front of Disneyland. And I was just thinking in my head, let that be my dad. Let that be my dad. And the moment he turned around and I saw the side of his face, I knew it was my dad. And it started, the anxiety started to subside. But when he fully turned around, and I saw his whole face, I saw his eyes lock into my eyes, all fear and anxiety left, because my dad found me. My dad had locked eyes with me, and he was coming for me, and he found me, and I was safe. The fear and anxiety was gone. In point number three, in this part of the blessing, the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. That's the kind of peace God is offering you today. Where you might feel like in life right now, God's face is not towards you. Maybe you can see the side of his face, figuratively speaking, and you're wondering, is he gonna recognize me in this time of crisis? Is he gonna be for me in this time of crisis? what is this gonna look like? In that moment, with this blessing, when we pray, we realize that God's face really, it was never off of us. But it's really more about us locking eyes with him, because he's already searching for you. This part of the promise that he turns his face towards you, peace comes from that. Peace comes from the end of this blessing saying, God, gaze upon my life right now. I wanna lock eyes with you. And just like me when I was a little boy, when my dad started walking toward me and all fear left, you can have that kind of confidence right now. We're gonna pray in a couple minutes over us and pray this blessing over our church family and over you specifically wherever you're watching. And I want to remind you that when we pray and finish this prayer, that his face would turn towards you and give you peace, you can start operating in peace right now. Right now, you can walk in peace. You can walk with joy. There can be a peace that doesn't even make sense, like the Bible talks about, because we have a God that's above it all. God is not causing what's going on, but he's still in charge of what's going on, and that's what's so powerful. There is a good and loving God holding this all together right now in our world, and that good and loving God is the God we can lean on and have peace from. That kind of peace is available for us. That kind of peace is what we can have when we ask God for this blessing. It's a peace that when we know that this peace, when his face turns towards us, really what we're asking God for is his presence. It's his presence. When was the last time you experienced God's presence in your home, in your car while you're driving, maybe in your bedroom while you're praying. I think this is one of those moments wherever you're watching, whether you're in a home, whether you're watching in Maui, we can experience God's presence right now. And let me tell you something. There is nothing, nothing. There is no medication. There is no therapy. Nothing comes close to the peace you can have from God's presence. And that can be available to you today. I want to remind you again that God is for you. He's not against you. God is for us, and he's not against us. He's above storms. He's above trials. He's above uncertainty. And this is so powerful. Just remember this. God is already in the future. He's already in the future. Whatever uncertainty and fear we might have over the next few weeks, months, whatever it might be, God is already there. Think about that. He's already there, and he's waiting on us to catch up. He is paving a way for you. He's making a way, and he's clearing the path. He's clearing the path for you. There's been a verse, and you may have seen it going around on social media, and I was planning on reading this, and I'm going to. It's from Psalm 91. It's the second half of this chapter. There is not a specific author assigned to this, but most people believe that the author was most likely Moses. And I want to read the second half of this to you because I feel like Psalm 91 is a perfect verse even to give us peace in these times. It starts with verse 9. When we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. How then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they will be there for you and keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. For here is what the Lord has spoken to me. Because you have delighted in me as my great lover, I will greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face. There's that image of the face, remember, before my face. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray. Think about how bold this is. This is God. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will find and feel my presence, even in your time of pressure and trouble. God's showing us there again that his presence is what we need to be after in times of trouble. I will be your glorious hero and give you a feast. You will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you, for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. That's what God promises us today, and that's what he promises you. Here's how I want to end our time together today. We started off by reading this verse as a verse, and it is in scripture, but I want to conclude today by praying this blessing, praying these verses over us today as a blessing. You know, several people when I was researching this also called this blessing an intercessory prayer. God is speaking to Aaron, and Aaron becomes the intercessor on behalf of the people of God that day. And whether we look at this as an intercessory prayer or a blessing, the promise is still true and is still available for you and I right now, wherever you might be. So here's what I'm gonna ask. Whether you're on your phone or maybe you might be all over the community, wherever you're at, if you could right now just stop what you're doing, because this is the powerful moment that the entire message has been leading up to. I wanna pray this blessing over you specifically and over us as a church. And even if you're watching today and you don't attend Citizen Church, I still wanna pray this over you as well. Because with uncertainty, we know that God is still certain. And I wanna pray this over you today and then conclude generally in prayer. And I want you, as I read this, to maybe even where you're at, just outstretch your arms in a posture of receiving today. And when you stretch your arms out, I want you to just, as I'm praying, receive it. And then when I conclude in prayer, I want you to make this prayer your own. This is what God is speaking over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, and no matter where we are right now watching physically, or no matter where we are today in regards to our emotions and thought life, our spirit, let us be reminded today that peace is available for us right now. Joy is available for us right now. God, we want to say today, thank you for your strength. Thank you for allowing blessings like this to be in your word. They are promises from your heart saying, call on my highest name and you can live with these blessings. God, I pray for our church family as a whole in both of our campuses, that through your power and sovereignty, that our church would be stronger right now than it has ever been, that we would be more confident in who you are than we have ever been. God, I pray for our individual families and our individual homes, our marriages, our children. God, I pray blessing over our families, blessing over every single person watching right now. You are a good God. You are a loving God. And when we cling to you in these times, in these moments, in these storms, you are the light that pierces the darkness, that brings clarity, strength, and warmth to where we are in our homes, in our minds, and in our cities. Bless our city here. Bless Albuquerque. God, I pray that you would bless the island of Maui. Bless any city that's represented watching right now. God, bless our society and our nation as a whole. We pray over our nation's leaders, over the leaders of our states and communities. Give them wisdom, Father. Guide their steps. And God, I pray right now that our church and the church as a whole would rise up like we've never risen up before. We can be the answer to our community's biggest problems. God, I pray that we would sacrifice financially, sacrifice with our goods, with all of our practical necessities, with food for people that are in need today, God. Let us be the answer because you've called us to be. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You know, this is what I love, that no matter where we're at, we can still gather in a sense and worship together. So I want to encourage you, wherever you're at, you want to worship just as you would as if you were here. The Holy Spirit is going to meet you just where you're at. Thank you, Jesus.
There is a promise that points beyond my failure. There is a still voice to silence all my fears. Even the worst of my mistakes are miracles in the making. Are miracles in the making.
By your stripes.
And by your stripes, I am healed. With one touch, I am made whole. You have spoken, and I know that it is so. In the storm, you are peace, and your love, it won't let me go.
sing this, by your stripes, by your stripes, I am healed. With one touch, I am made whole. You have spoken, and I know that it is so. In the storm, in the storm,
well, church online has been incredible today. And guess what? It's not done yet. Our Citizen Kids experience is about to begin. So before you exit out, swipe away, or press a home button on your Apple TV or whatever it is that you're streaming on, don't leave just yet. I want to tell you about two ways that you can help with our current COVID-19 situation that's happening. And these are the best ways for you to get involved. The first thing is you can give to the Relief Fund at citizen.church/health. The second way that you can help is today until noon, you can bring supplies here to the church. Supplies that would be food or practical necessities here at the church. Bring them here until noon or Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Those are the best two ways that you can help. You can do one or the other or both, whatever you would like. Make sure that you stay up to date with all things going on here by going to our website, citizen.church, or following us on our social media platforms. Hey, thank you for joining us today. Make sure you stick around. Citizen Kids Experience is about to begin. God bless you.
I throw my hands to the sky. Hey everyone. So you see on the stage that we have a bunch of cool stuff. We have a bunch of tools, a bunch of blocks to build with. We're gonna go ahead and build something. I brought my friend Miss Dominique. So Miss Dominique, go ahead and start building. Let's see, we have our hammer, we have our screw, we have our blocks. She's pretty good at this, don't you guys think? Good job, Miss Dominique. Well, let's see what happens when she doesn't feel like building. Oh, well, do you guys think she's still good at building? No. Well, that reminds me of someone in the Bible named Peter. Everyone say Peter. Good job. Well, Peter, he was one of Jesus's best friends. But check this out. Peter did something to hurt Jesus really, really bad. When someone asked Peter, do you know Jesus? He said, no, that's not my friend. That would hurt your feelings too, right? If someone said, that's not my friend, but they were one of your best friends. Well, Peter did this and he was called to build the church. But instead, when he denied Jesus, he was kind of like Miss Dominique, knocking down all of the plans that God had for him. So we're going to check out the Bible to see what happens next in this story. We're going to read a verse. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. What that verse is telling me is that no matter how many mistakes we make, no matter what sin we have, we can never be kicked out of God's family. He loves us so much, and it's a promise from him that we'll always be in his family no matter what. But does God like sin? No, he doesn't. But does he expect us to be perfect? He doesn't expect us to be perfect, and that brings us to our main thing. Say it with me. Everyone say, God doesn't need you to be perfect.
You to be perfect.
One more time. Say, God doesn't need.
God doesn't need.
You to be perfect.
You to be perfect.
I want you guys to remember that and take that with you for the rest of your week. We all make mistakes, so don't get upset with yourself and don't think that God doesn't love you. He does no matter what, but we still should try our best to be a good person and to always trust the plan that he has for our lives. He has a plan for all of us. So let's go ahead and pray. Everyone close your eyes. Thank you, God, for always giving us second chances, just like you gave Peter in the Bible so many chances. Thank you for having a plan over our lives. Thank you for loving us no matter what and giving us a perfect gift to always be in your family, Lord. I pray that this next week that we're all protected and we're healthy and that we always remember the promise of your love no matter what. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
You guys did so awesome. So as a reward, I think we should do the monkey dance. Everybody stand up.
Monkey.
Everyone dance like a monkey.
Monkey. Monkey. Monkey.
Go this way. This way. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll see you next week.